It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. You know, we have, right off the top, we're going to give you a really great shoe for you. We got Michael Badnarik and Sheriff Richard Mack. You know, they just happen to be wandering by, grab them both and say, oh, yeah, we're going to upgrade. We're going to upgrade. We got them both. You know, we have constitutional individuals that are going, can we try that? Let's go back to it. Yeah, I remember the old joke that Jay Leno did one time on the Late Show. Kind of, you know, shocked a lot of people. They were talking about doing the new constitution in Iraq and everything. It was just, why don't we get Mars? We're not using it. You know? So I just go, wow, it's becoming obvious to everybody. Well, you know, Michael, let's start with you, man. I mean, you know, you're here, and it's amazing. I hear you on a lot of other interviews and in your talks. It's not necessarily that you're pessimistic. It's just that you know that, you know, whatever solution we're going to have is not going to come from whatever these guys are.
No. Oh, absolutely not. You got my mic up?
Go ahead and try it there.
Sound better?
Yeah, I'm... We have to understand the principles of liberty, the basics, and I've whittled the Constitution down to 7 words. You know,
yeah, we got it set up here.
Okay.
Grab that one. There we go. See, what happened is I have these two mics. I have one way down for when I talk because I'm so loud, and I gave you the one that was down. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, the concept is to protect life, liberty, and property, and I've whittled the Constitution down to 7 words. Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff.
And how's that working out?
Well, as long as everybody understands, don't hurt me, don't take my stuff, I don't have to hurt anybody back.
You know, that sounds like a good way of putting it. Sheriff, you know, is there something you would add to that?
I just, I can't figure out how Michael Badnarik could teach an 8-hour class on that. 7 words. But, you know, really.
Go ahead, before the break, go ahead and share his microphone, because that one got plugged in after you got here.
I have to say that keeping it simple is what I'm all about. And if we're going to have law enforcement and sheriffs and everybody across the country know and understand our message, then, I think what Michael Badnarik came up with is very appropriate, right on target. And are we on?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. And it's right on target, and I love it. 7 words describes our Constitution. Man, oh, man. I think the... If you read the simplicity of the Constitution itself, you'll see that the Founding Fathers were trying for a simple message of freedom and leave me alone.
That was the promise.
Yes.
Is that what's happened?
Of course not. No, of course not. And but we're not in trouble, and we're not having this catastrophe in our country because we're following the Constitution too strictly. Far from it. We have people today who believe they're smarter than the Founding Fathers, and they're taking us off into a different direction. And because it is so blatant and in your face that this has created the Tea Party movement and the freedom movement, and it has awakened a sleeping giant in this country, and it's called the American people.
Really? I mean, do you think? Let me ask Michael this. Go ahead and give him the mic on it. You know, this sleeping giant we keep hearing about, I mean, you know, where that came from, World War II, Yamamoto, in charge of the Japanese fleet, bombed Pearl Harbor,
right.
And he had been actually trained in the United States, got to be educated. And he goes, yeah, I don't think you guys understand what you did. You know, you just awakened a sleeping giant. Well, have you seen that? Has it been the giant low back to sleep? We've been fluoridated a little extra, amped up, or what? I mean, you know what I mean?
Washington, D.C. hasn't bombed Pearl Harbor yet. But, you know, we're getting there. I mean, is it perfect? No. Are we more awake than we used to be? Absolutely. You know, 5 years ago, we didn't have a Tea Party movement. We didn't have the Oath Keepers. Most of the liberty organizations that we talk about right now didn't even exist. Last September, there was a rally in Austin, Texas, promoting secession. And you go, well, yeah, but there were only 400 people there. Yeah, that's 400 people more than there was at the rally the year before. So, you know, are we moving in the direction of liberty? Yes. Are we there yet? No. Are we moving fast enough? Well, I'm upset that we left in the first place. So we've got to keep our eye on the promise, the purpose of the Constitution, and it's our responsibility to defend the Constitution, not the Constitution's responsibility to defend us.
Well, that's, you know, that's a good point. Let's get back to the sheriff thing here. You know, that's one thing that's really got you all around the country is mm-hmm. going, well, you know, we're going to have to defend the Constitution.
Right.
And you're looking to the sheriffs to be the representatives of the people doing that. Is there anywhere in the country that a sheriff is not elected?
There's a movement to do that in a few places. A county in Ohio just did it. And
What do they want to do? A county they want
seriously,
to have appointed
they, or something? The county commission voted to appoint the sheriff in one county. But some of the freedom fighters there that I've spoken with are suing to stop that. But, yeah, there's a real fear of the sheriffs across the country, and the greatest fear is that government has is that the sheriffs will finally realize how much power and authority they actually do have. And when that happens, we're going to have sheriffs standing all across the country. We've got the video of Tony DeMeo now, sheriff from Nye County, Nevada, going viral, and him talking about his conflict with the federal government. And he's actually threatened them, and they threatened him. And it's what I guarantee that I learned in the 8 years I was sheriff, the federal government does not want to fight with your sheriff. And if the sheriff's really doing his job, he will protect you from the federal government.
Well, see, it's something that we need to know either way. It's like when the NRA would make the argument about, oh, like when you're doing the Brady Bill. You know, you're a sheriff in Southeastern.
Is that the NRA, the Harry Reid supporters?
Yeah, right.
That
yeah,
NRA?
Yeah,
you, or is you, it the NRA prior to that?
Yeah, we're on board. Oh, there was a difference back then? Don't even start with me,
I know.
Richard. So, see, the thing is, Sheriff Mack, we knew each other back in 94.
Right.
Back when you were sheriff in southeastern Arizona in Graham County, where Safford and Thatcher and Pima are there, and it's on the Mexico. Well, I don't know if you're on the border.
We're 100 miles from.
So you're near the border.
Yeah.
So your county went actually
one county
on the
away.
So what happened was is that you challenged the Brady Bill, the enforcement of that, and that went on, and you got infamous, you know. But the thing is that at the same time, during those years, the NRA, they were like, nah, we don't want to challenge anything to the Supreme Court. They might, you know, kind of rule against us, and oh, heaven forbid they actually rule for us, then we wouldn't have a need for us anymore. We can't raise any more money, you know. So I'm going, yeah, I know how they're thinking. So these guys, but I need to know. I need the Supreme Court to say, either way, I don't care. Just say it. Say it, freaking say it. You're either for us or you're against us. Well, what happens is, during this time, we were also emphasizing and making the point that sheriffs are the highest law. Well, that became a big mantra throughout the country. It just started, certainly in the Patriot community. Well, who grasped onto that and said, oh, you damn Skippy, it was Sheriff Arpaio. And he's like, yeah, I'm the head dog. I do whatever I want, you know. So that has it. It's like a double-edged sword, man.
See, the difference between Arpaio and me, though, is his was based on jealousy of his turf and a little bit, well, you know, and both of us have our own egos, so I'm not going to accuse him of having
no,
an
Sheriff
ego.
Arpaio is crazy.
But
Sorry, did I say that out loud?
No.
Did I say that out loud?
But Arpaio, the difference is that he's really jealous of his turf, and I'll be eternally grateful to Joe Arpaio for the attention, the positive attention he has brought to the power of the sheriff. Now, he has, and he's done a great job of that, and he's awakened many people with that. But the problem is he never talks about the Constitution.
Silver lining. Oh, yeah, he does. I did this live debate with him, with Sam Steiger, was the moderator, ex-Congressman Steiger.
Well, you guys made him talk about the Constitution. He never voluntarily talks about the Constitution.
I got to tell you what he said. This is great. You'll like this, Michael. This is good. We're sitting there, and it's 1-800-THE-VOTE. I mean, people are going to be calling in and voting with their phones. It's kind of American Idol back in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and you're on in 10, 9, and our pile leans over to him, and he goes, I don't want to just hear about this Constitution thing the whole time. Yeah. And I turn to Sam, and I go, you don't even know what he says. You know, this guy, so of course, the first chance I get to speak. Well, if we were to abide by the Constitution, you'll bite me, man. You know, this is just, I'm telling you, these people like Sheriff Arpaio that get in there, and they learn the power of the sheriff. They are not necessarily feel that they're constrained by the change of the Constitution. And that has been the double-edged sword of this. Yes, the sheriffs have the power, but do they feel they have any limits to it? Well, that's where we come in. We'll be right back with Michael Badmerick and Sheriff Richard Mack here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here from Valley Forge. We're playing with wires because Sheriff Mack broke it. We have Sheriff Richard Mack and Michael Badnarik here. We're going on about, you know, the one thing, you know, this is something that, you know, it's not new because we've been, all of us have, you've been around long enough in this. Don't worry about your headphones. Your hair's not getting messed up. You know, it's the first thing, Sheriff Mack says, you know, my party for radio, you know. That, you know, the one thing that we learn in this movement is there's a lot of, I wouldn't say weapons available to us as freedom fighters, but certainly options and rhetoric. It's usually a lot, it's concepts. And that's where Michael comes in. He's always got good concepts, you know. And the thing is that it doesn't mean anything unless you're willing and able to use them as, weapons. You know, as ability to have an impact on things. But I want to ask you, Michael, you know, this whole concept that's been around since, you know, back when Richard was, you know, sheriff in the day, this power of the sheriff. And you'll get it in a really good example is when you'll have a prison riot. You'll be a federal prison out there, and you're going, well, guess who's the head dog in charge? Here comes the sheriff. He's going, oh, I'm the head dog. Well, let's see, you know, is he? I mean, is that how it really works out?
Yeah, constitutionally, it is the highest executive power in the county. And the problem is that the sheriff's power is not unlimited. The sheriff's job description is to protect your life, your liberty, your property. There's a whole lot of responsibility going on. And that's what Sheriff Mack teaches, not only to, you know, those of us that are not law enforcement, but most importantly to the guys and women that are currently in law enforcement. And the wonderful thing is that Sheriff Mack's got the credibility. You know, he's been there, done that, and they're willing to listen to him, and he's getting these people on our side. Tell them a story about Texas. You were up in Amarillo?
Yeah, probably the most worthwhile meeting I've had since I've been starting this and doing this, I would say since I was sheriff. 25 sheriffs in the panhandle of Texas come to my Constitution for Peace Officers class.
How many sheriffs are there up there?
Well, at least 25.
I guess.
Well, there's 254 in the whole count, in the whole state.
Okay, but just up in the panhandle, you got 25 sheriffs.
I bet there's more, but 25 came
to
me.
There's a campaign going. There's some people saying, guess what, you're going to go listen to Sheriff Mack.
But you know what? That's exactly what happened, and that's a key point there. I wasn't the one that planned this meeting. This was the people of Amarillo. This was the Tea Party group. They got this done. Now, usually when people say, oh, we're going to have a bunch of sheriffs. We're inviting all these sheriffs. They're going to come here. Sheriff Mack, give his class, blah, blah. And, you know, three or four sheriffs show up and then they get paged out, you know, after an hour or so and they're gone, you know, but this group stayed the whole time. They were totally into the class and Sheriff Richardson was so gracious, and afterwards he had some of the jail inmates carrying my stuff back out to the car, and he was just totally into this. He felt the spirit of freedom in there, and it was fantastic. He was totally converted, and of course he was on pretty much on board before we had the meeting, and he said, you know what, Sheriff Matt, we just got to do this. We got to be constitutional sheriffs. And it was like a light went on, and another sheriff, get this, another sheriff brought his county attorney and his judge.
Oh, no, that's good.
Now, you know what the judge told me after the meeting? After this four-hour class on the Constitution, the judge comes up to me and says, could we get you to speak at our statewide judges convention? I said, "Oh yeah, don't want to do that." Yeah, so of course we're working on that too. But it was a tremendous meeting, and it just made me believe all the more that Texas is going to be pivotal in this whole thing.
Yeah, and I've always got that impression. I went to school a little bit in Texas, and if you go to school there at higher education, it was a community college while I was there working for a couple of years, and I just had extra time. I just continued to go to school. I was young. That's what the women are. And so I went there, and you cannot take any kind of class in Texas unless the first thing you do on your schedule is you got to have Texas history and government. And they go, let me tell you what, we can break up into five states whenever we want. We go from 2 to 10 senators. We can secede from the Union, and y'all can kiss it. You know, and I'm going, they go, I had a song at the time, it was early 80s, and it went during the energy crisis then, and the gas pump lines and all this, you know, stuff are going on. And it was called Freeze a Yankee, Drive 75 and Freeze them Alive, Freeze. So they were like, yeah, we'll keep our own oil, man.
Well, I agree. I think Texas, you can't talk about state sovereignty and independence without looking at Texas history very seriously. You know, the spirit of the Alamo and even before that. And so, yeah, I really think that Texas is starting to get it.
Yeah, do we have to go to Texas? I'm wondering if that might, you know, as opposed to another country, you have different states like Montana and Wyoming and others and Idaho kind of flexing their arms a little bit. And but Texas has pretty much had this attitude from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember in the early 90s, there was this Ranger thing that was going on.
Yeah.
And trying to get, in fact, the Hunt brothers that were putting a corner on the silver market back in the 70s, mm-hmm. I think there's rumors that had to do with, you know, providing a currency for Texas. So I mean, you know, there's a lot of things I've heard and different conspiracies and fact and that. But all that doesn't matter when you're actually, it has a real impact on the people there. And they can get 25 sheriffs to come listen to you, and they're bringing their county attorneys and judges. Yeah. That's where we start having a problem. You know, for them it is.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
But, you know, this is the one question, though. Once they start to get the concept that, yes, okay, so we do have the ultimate authority and power, mm-hmm. how many of them stand up to it when they got the, because you went through this with the mm-hmm. Clinton administration, mm-hmm. you know, the pressure came on, man. You know, here they come, and there's what, throughout, how many sheriffs are there in the county, 9,000 and something?
In the whole country?
In the country.
3,100.
3,100. So you have 3,100 sheriffs. How many of them are going to be going, you know, kiss it? Or are they going, yes, boss, how high? I mean, yeah. You know, what's the ratio there?
Well, Ernie, I got to tell you, that's the number one question I get. You probably get it too, Michael, and I get that all the time. Okay, how many county officials, how many state officials really know? What about the governors? How many sheriffs are coming on board? We haven't stopped to do the statistical analysis yet, but we're going to. And we've actually started the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officer Association, where we're going to identify that. And we don't want to exclude peace officers either, because they're sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution as well. So, yeah, we're right now in the education phase. We're on the bandwagon stage right now. We want sheriffs to learn that there is a place they can go, and that their responsibility, when the federal government is completely out of control, and the warning of Thomas Jefferson in the first page of my book says, when all government shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will destroy all the constitutional protections that were intended. So when government becomes venal and oppressive, as Jefferson warned us, to whom can the people turn for peace, safety, and protection? It's the sheriff. He has already promised in God's name that he would protect the constitutional rights of the people.
Okay, this is for Michael. I'm going to give it to Michael. All right. I've always had this. One more thing. Our legislature, our Congress, this next election, this president, now we're down to the sheriff, okay? Now, I just got to ask a question. After we do the sheriff thing, it doesn't work out, then what? Are we done? Can I vote none of the above now?
Yeah, you can vote none of the above. We're going to make it happen. We're going to restore liberty. The sheriffs in all the counties are the starting core. But naturally, one sheriff can't do it all by himself. They're going to need the people of the county backing them up. And I'm there behind Sheriff Mack and Sheriff DeMeo out in Nevada.
You know, with the ones that do stand up, because we went through this before with you back in 94. You know, I mean, you know, I'm first in line, man. You know, we'll go do it, but I don't even think that, you know, that you have to prove that it either will or it will not work. Either way, but we cannot just let it go. So I'm behind you, brother.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're all satisfied here in Pennsylvania, where we're coming live from the Liberty Conference Center, the Freedom Conference. I mean, what is the name of this thing anyway?
Freedom Action Conference.
Freedom Action Conference. Tom DeWeese has put on a three-day program with a lot of great speakers and so on. The thing is, I see a common theme. They have there's a lot of these conferences that are going on. They're starting to split off into various different focuses. I'll tell you what the focus is and the change has been. One is the traditional patriot redo back to the Constitution. We should, you better, and if you don't, and, you know, that kind of that common theme. And that's where definitely got, you know, Michael Badnarik and Sheriff Mack, you know, their top bills, you know, for that one. Now, tonight is Thomas Woods, okay? Now, he's more, you know, going down the anarchist road a little bit. You know, we'll see how far he's going down that. But it's certainly economically. You know, he's Austrian economics, man. Get the government out of the way.
Yeah, but he still is riding along with what I've been saying, too, with the sheriffs and state nullification.
Oh, yeah. No. That's why he's still here.
His nullification thing, to some, I think, is maybe towards some principles of anarchy. But I believe it's the supreme law of the land. I think it's just adhering to the Constitution.
You know, and that's one thing that I wanted to talk about, is we're in a situation now to where there is a growing number of the young. And I know a lot of you guys are starting to meet these people. You know, they're very serious and very well-schooled and very well-read.
We are change.
We are change is one of them. I mean, it's just a lot of them that have, I wouldn't say they abandoned the Constitution or the government or anything. I don't think they ever felt they were ever part of it to begin with. They never had any experience of it doing anything good for them. They never had any evidence that they were obligated in some way. All they've ever did is some obligation, you got to go die for empire. And they're just going, how about not? You know, I mean, what have you done for me? Heck, you know, they have their own siblings themselves. They're born into this debt that they never got any benefit from. They're obligated to forever be an economic slave to the banks and so on. I know you've met a lot of these people. You've talked to them. And certainly, Michael, you know, being in the libertarian movement, that these guys are sincere. And when you go and you engage them in conversation, you know you're not going to change them. they are pretty confident that they're, no, this thing's broke. So I want to get from both of you I don't think that they would be engaged enough to oppose anything that you're doing. You know, they're just now, you guys, you know, whatever, you know, peace be upon thee. They're just not involved, but they have so much energy and so much creativity and so much technical ability.
And what are they directing that energy towards?
Self-survival.
Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff.
Yeah, no. I'm absolutely. That's their prime directive. Absolutely. But they're not looking to a sheriff to do it for them. So I'm, you know, as you talk to the, I want, no, first I want.
They're not looking for it, but I bet they would invite it if it happened. I bet they would love it.
Now that's a good point. So I want you to go ahead and address your comments now to these people. You know, talk to them, Richard. I mean,
well, this is a novel concept. You talk about concepts. This is such a novel phenomenon to actually have people keep their oath of office. It hasn't happened in this country. We don't care about the oath of office. We don't. It's a simple little ceremony that creates perjury the very next day. And all these public officials, from the dog catcher all the way down to the president. Did everybody catch that?
Yeah, I did. All the way down. I got it.
All right. I'll take an oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution, but it has been replaced, and these people have replaced the Constitution with mainstream political correctness. And so people have been grasping and grabbing for programs and political procedures when all we need to do is look behind us and grab the Constitution, because that's going to protect everybody.
Now, see, this is one, you know, talk to this 23-year-old I went through as a young man my sophomore year in college through the Ron Paul Levolution thing. I've visited New Hampshire. I've talked to people. My parents have lost their jobs. I got my degree, and there's no opportunity. There's no jobs. There's no manufacturing. There's no, I mean, I'm looking at debt that's been piled on to me and my generation forever. I'm going to be, you know, 3/4 of my income, should I ever have any, is going to go to the supply, the future generation, the banks, and I mean, you know, they know this,
right?
Okay,
right.
So when you have, but you know, we're going to make them adhere to their oath, or these sheriffs are going to, like, we're going to select these, they're going to really, 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 really mean it this time.
Okay,
how do you convince them of that?
Let's compare it to the flight attendant who just jumped off the plane and went down the little.
I was wondering how long I could go without mentioning that.
but look at him. It's ridiculous. We're making that guy a hero just because he got frustrated with a job and told him to hang it. And you know, if he really wanted to be a hero, he should have done it while the plane was in the air or something, you know. But okay, he took the safe way and easy way out. So if those same people, the 23-year-old you were talking about, if they see the sheriff standing up, those 23-year-olds are going to love it that government gets out of our way, that there actually is someone protecting the little guy, that there is a people's defender that actually works within government. And it's called the Honorable High Sheriff, who knows and understands his responsibility to protect and, yes, even protect his citizens from the tyrant. And if we had that kind of leadership throughout our history, man, it would have changed.
You know, I see the promise. I see the hope. I see the argument. Let me tell you what.
Hope thing is real. And,
No.
I know. And
springs eternal. That's why they keep screwing us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're going, we get you to hope one more election cycle. But let me go ahead and ask Michael this. Michael, you know, this is, I see the progression of this. Assume that everything that Sheriff Mack says happens. You have a dozen sheriffs, one sheriff. I mean, all it took was him and a few others, you know, challenged the Clinton administration. But, of course, it became a partisan thing. You know, it became a, you know, more, I lived it, man. I know what it was. It was just like this immigration thing. You know, nobody really reads the bills or what's happening going on. It's just a us versus them thing, you know.
Right.
So now we're going to get into where there's going to be, like, Nye County in Nevada, or it's Nye County, right? Nye County, you have a sheriff's going, nah, you got to come through me, man. You want to do anything here? You're a federal agent. You got a shiny badge that says federal government on it. Guess what? You better be stopping by my office or we're going to arrest your butt. Then we have other states that have even had, if they don't go through the sheriff, they get arrested. Okay? I mean, it's gone that far. So now you have a sheriff that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Federal government's got to make a decision. Are they going to abide by this, or are they going to go, now we need to make an example? Then these young people that are glad that they were standing up, that support that they were doing it, are they willing to go up against the federal government? How far are they willing to go when every single time they've done that, the very person that stood up and defending all of a sudden kind of goes, nah, I'm not willing to go that far. I mean, you know, how far are they willing to go?
I can't answer for anybody else except myself. I know how far I'm willing to go, and it's all about life, liberty, or property. And yeah, I love Sheriff Mac, but somebody comes crawling through my window at 2 o'clock, I'll, you know, double tap him and then call Sheriff Mac to come out and help fill out the report. But, you know, we have the promise. You got to believe that somebody is willing to fulfill the promise. You know, we know what we expect a sheriff to do. Sheriff's supposed to be the good guy. So we got Sheriff Mac. Either, you know, are you suggesting that we elect Sheriff Mac and once he gets his uniform on again, he just like turns corrupt? I'm not buying it. There are people out there that you can trust. Not a lot, but you can trust somebody.
You know, and as individuals, you know, I would agree with you. But as institutions or as a an office or the badge itself, it's going to be hard to make that argument when you have so many centuries of evidence that you can't.
There's, again, you judge each person. We can say, you know, I get so many lies over radio. You know, this Ernie Hancock guy, he's on the radio, he's got this program. You know, he's real energetic, but, you know, I'm just not buying anything he says because he's on the radio. You can't trust anybody on the radio. I can't make a broad brush.
Exactly sweep. That's exactly what you should be thinking. You go find out yourself.
Yeah, but another one to add to that is I've got to add to what you're saying, Michael, is there's a sheriff in, is it Fort Hood, Texas, down on the border? Sheriff West. It's Fort something, okay, and it's Sheriff West. He has seen everything that you're saying, Ernie. He has seen exactly what you're talking about, Michael, and that is a sheriff that actually stands up. Okay, he becomes this hero. Well, he is working with the people. He knows and understands that his job is to work with his people. So what did he do? He issued a proclamation, a public proclamation, that every citizen should be armed because they are responsible to protect that border and their property and their, well, life, liberty, and property. And so he's working under that concept of working with the people.
And, you know, Moore did that. They may have more credibility because it all comes down to credibility. And
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads. It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Hang on, down the highway and you're rushing.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here from Valley Forge. You know, we have Michael Badnarik and Sheriff Richard Mack here. And, you know, it's one of my favorite rejoiners is that, you know, roads. But what roads? Where we're going, there aren't any roads. You know, because you always hear that when you're talking about, you know, God, you know, this government thing, can we just not? And they're going, yeah, but what about the roads? You always hear about the roads. I go, yeah, what about my Jetson car? You know, if it wasn't for government, I'd be whizzing around 3D in the air. So that's kind of my point. I mean, come on, is that it? Are you enslaving me to the point that I'm going to have to be traveling on roads for the rest of my freaking existence of humanity? I mean, come on. You know, let's evolve. Let's go past this and let's free the airspace. Well, we're here at the 2010 Freedom Action Conference, put on by Tom DeWeese, and a couple of the featured speakers here, of course, are Michael Badnarik and Sheriff Richard Mack. And it's great to have both of these guys on at the same time because I know they're in support of each other and they speak the same language, and I can decipher it, you know, for some of my friends. And, you know, because the thing is that they'll say certain things about freedom and about oaths and constitution and proper rule of government and all this other stuff. But I know a lot of these young people coming up, they will say the same thing about rights and natural law and all this other stuff, but they don't look the paper for it.
Neither do I. I tell my students that you can burn the Constitution, shred the Bill of Rights. Not going to, you know, eliminate my freedom of speech.
Just like the rest of our politicians do.
Yeah.
Yeah, burn the Constitution.
You're not going to stop me from, you're not going to stop me from carrying a gun. You know, we're talking about Tom Woods and his nullification. I nullified 23,000 gun laws. They're all unconstitutional. Now, that's a, you know, theory that needs to catch on. You know, once I get a couple million people.
What do you teach the young children? This is a good one for you, Michael. You have, well, first off, you know, the government school system, there's your big problem right there. But if you have these young children, they're 6 years old, they're going in the first grade homeschool, parochial, big classroom for the neighborhood, the government, whatever. I mean, are you instilling in them, what, pledge allegiance to a republic, a flag? What are you doing?
No, I'm teaching them to think for themselves. You know, I tell them the best way to learn is science. We got to do counting. We got to measure. We got to do science. You got to think for yourself. And I am so proud because I get, children to challenge the teachers. I spoke at a high school in Colorado for an hour and 15 minutes, autographed a book and left, came back, 2 days later, and a woman says, "Do you know what happened after you left the high school?" "Well, how could I know what happened after I left?" Well, apparently the high school seniors went to the cafeteria, they continued their argument and debate, and basically there was insurrection. They refused to go back to class until the principal promised them, "Okay, you come back to class now, we'll give you 2 more hours in the library tomorrow so we can continue the discussion." And I mean, I didn't think that I was all that inflammatory, but, an hour and 15 minutes, I got them challenging authority.
Ideas are powerful, certainly with young minds. I'll tell you, I tell this story a lot in the air. I don't know if you guys have heard this. When I used to, back when we used to know each other, you remember our old first headquarters we had back in Central Phoenix and so on?
Oh, yeah.
You and Larry Pratt came and spoke, and we had all that. And up there, at that time I was county chairman of the Libertarian Party, I would be invited to go to all these schools. They had the Republican, the Democrat, the Libertarian. After a couple election cycles, they stopped inviting them. They're just boring. They knew they were lying anyway. So we'd go and we'd talk. And what I learned, it wasn't the elementary kids. It wasn't the high school kids. They already thought they knew everything. It was the junior high. It was 7th and 8th graders. You can get them chanting freedom as they're marching out of the classroom. I mean, it was amazing. It was like clockwork. You do it every time. And I'm going, what is so different? They're challenging authority. They're starting to go through puberty. That's why the government school system separates them out. That's when they start, social studies and government and all this other crap. Once they're starting to question authority, they want to regiment them in how you do it.
Right,
it's through
right.
this process. You know what I'm going? Oh, I get it. It started to make sense. John Taylor Gatto was one of the speakers this last Freedom Summit last year. And, Freedom Summit's coming up, first weekend in December. Go to freedomsummit.com, and you'll get the information on that. Great speakers this year again.
Hey, I want to be a speaker.
Yeah, you were supposed to be last time.
Okay, I'm going to make it up to you.
Yeah. Oh,
I promise. I don't have anything in December yet.
Oh, you're killing me, man. We'll see. We'll talk about it. Well, what happened is he got a better gig. But the so we had Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers was kind enough to kind of switch with the sheriff here, and took that. And that went over well. And that's one thing. We have the Oath Keepers. They are just going. And I have Heidi Byrick from the Southern Poverty Law Center on my show a few times. And I saw a video of you wishing her a happy birthday. I don't think we didn't see that. And didn't you do it too, Michael?
No. No, maybe that's why I'm not on the list.
Yeah. You guys are rookies, man. You got to know how to get on these lists, okay?
Oh, man.
I don't know what I got to do. I got to get
Heidi's email address and wish her a happy birthday.
What happened, she said her birthday on Facebook or something. So my board op, and he does a show also, a podcast, is Jet Lacy. He's on there with her, and he's always having fun. So he gets on with her, and he's like, finds out it's her birthday. She's talking about she's going to drink 42 beers, one for each year or something, right? And I'm going, okay, I want her in charge. So so he got a bunch of people like Luke Krigowski, or however you say his name, Ludowski, and Sheriff Mack and some other guys are on the list, and Gary Franchi and all this stuff that had been on the Southern Poverty Patriot list or whatever it is, and wishing her a happy birthday. So it was a fun compilation that they put together. And she's just a symptom of a bigger thing. I mean, I've been dealing with these guys forever, even back in the day when you were in Arizona.
Yeah, they went after me right off the bat. As soon as I did my lawsuit, I made the terrorist in America list. Yeah, now I'm a terrorist. And yet, isn't this funny? In 20 years of law enforcement, I never hurt anybody. I was never even accused of it, but I never shot anybody. I never tasered anybody. I never nightsticked anybody. Never beat anybody up, ever. In 20 years, I never slugged another human being.
You ever think that might have been why you got on the list? You weren't doing it enough for the state?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. You know, we don't want these mamsy-pamsy cops around. We want the ones that beat everybody up. You know,
what are you
they're
doing?
Not on the list.
Using logic and reason to get people to come around?
But you know what? But I got a question for all 40 people that are on the list. That, you know, Sam Bushman didn't make the list. He should be on the list. You should be on the list. Ernie should be on the list. But of all the people there that are on the list or that want to be on the list, all you wannabes, who I don't even know if I should associate with you guys because I'm on the list. But have any of you, has Sam or Kurt or Michael or Ernie, have you guys ever been at a polling booth and tried to block people and then threatened to kill people, threatened to kill crackers and stuff? Yet the Black Panthers did that, and they're not on the list.
You know, I asked her, I went like this. She was on the air with me one time, and we get along. I know what she is. You know, she's just a mouthpiece for the whatever. So she's willing to come on. We can have some fun with it. You know,
I think
good.
She's too sincere for SPLC, quite honestly.
And and she may be. And so we were talking, and I asked her, and I go, look, you know, I know this guy. This guy spoke at this. I know this person. We were, you know, co at this. I've been involved in this. You got Ron Paul, and I'm the revolution, and not him, not me. I mean, you know, I went through all these people, and so like you and everybody, and I go, what up? How come I'm not on this list? I mean, you got to explain to you, Bob Schultz. I go to the old Jekyll Island thing. I do this. I mean, you got to have her. And she goes, well, two things in two different interviews. She gave me two reasons. One, she goes, we're not putting you on the list because we know you want to be. And the other one is, she goes, we don't put libertarians on the list. She actually said that, Michael. So you're not getting on, man. That's just the way it is.
Hey, Janet Napolitano put the whole Libertarian Party on the list. So.
You know what happened? It was in 94, back when you were doing your Brady Bill thing. We had that group that we just resurrected called SAFE, Second Amendment is Forever. Yeah, you've spoken at some of our events.
I was there. I held up the assault rifle there.
Yeah, see, this is the deal.
Oh my!
You don't get to talk to our organization or group. We have hundreds of people out there. You don't get to talk. You're a politician, you run for, you don't get to talk unless you get a color photograph of you holding a black detachable magazine pistol grip battle rifle. Until then you can talk, okay? Because don't tell me you're going to go defend my rights for this if you're not willing to have your photograph taken with it. And that's an L. Neil Smith thing. That was a pretty good idea.
I was so naive, I took the picture. I didn't know what it was that I was holding.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Yeah. But you didn't inhale, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you cleared it. You know, so the thing is that when SAFE started, it was the unrestricted concealed carry of concealed weapons. It was an initiative that we did in 94, and it was just the name of the PAC that we had, Political Action Committee. So what happened? Southern Poverty Law Center put me on the list. And because Arizona was the militia list or whatever, the first one, I was at top of the list. Arpaio calls me. He had just been elected sheriff back then. And he goes, hey, Ernie, you know, because he and I knew each other. He goes, Ernie, I got this printout. You're on the top, man. Woohoo! I go, I made it. I'm famous now. I'm healed. I'm healed.
And Joe Arpaio's not on any of the lists.
No, well, he's got his own little specialist. I know Joe, and he and I get along fine, but I tell you, I have a great respect for his instability is the best way I can put it. I'm telling you, man, I go, Sheriff Joe, don't ever think that I ever give a second's consideration that you would ever run for governor, which you keep, you know, threatening that he's going to. I go, you would never give up this power. And I go, and you want to convince me how, you know, you're the powerful, most dangerous man in the state. And I go, you know, I already know that, so we're good, right? You don't have to convince me anymore. Are we good? You know, so this is not over. And there's so much going on. If we're going to be looking to the sheriffs for Constitution preservation, they're going to need help.
But let's go back. Let's give him another piece of credit. Remember when the train